Welcome to Carbon Compass by Brentland, where we explore meaningful conversations around driving South Africa toward a more sustainable future. This podcast is brought to you by Brentland, where we use our in-house expertise to break down complex climate and sustainability topics in a way that is accessible and actionable. Brentland is a purpose-built consultancy committed to empowering people to create a sustainable planet. We help key stakeholders navigate the complexities of a carbon-constrained world while balancing the needs of today with the ability of future generations to meet their needs in a responsible and equitable manner. Having successfully issued and commercialized over 7.5 million carbon credits across various sectors and technologies, Brentland has established itself as a leading carbon revenue generation partner in Southern Africa.
Today we're doing things a little differently for a very special episode. We have the privilege of interviewing one of our clients, TransEnergy Global, a company committed to accelerating the energy transition and creating a sustainable, thriving planet for future generations. In this episode, we will explore their story, their perspective on the just energy transition, their journey towards carbon credits commercialization, and finally, their role in the exciting Global Citizen Now event that will happen on African soil for the very first time. We have the Brentland team that has been working with TransEnergy, Jan Willem, Maddie, and myself, Dumo. And we are joined today by Duncan Ward and Brad Moreland, the co-founders and managing directors of TransEnergy. Duncan Ward is a globally recognized social entrepreneur and innovator with more than 25 years of experience across corporate leadership and mission-driven ventures. Before transitioning into entrepreneurship, he held several corporate management roles that shaped his strategic and business approach. Duncan has since founded and led multiple organizations focused on carbon credits, circular economy solutions, and large-scale community development, delivering award-winning social impact programs that have reached tens of thousands of beneficiaries in developing countries. Brad Moreland brings over 25 years of experience across global finance and venture building. He held senior roles in international banking before transitioning into entrepreneurship, where he has spent the past decade building and investing in businesses across sustainability, carbon markets, and large-scale project development. Brad combines deep financial expertise with a strong record of mobilizing capital for high-impact climate and infrastructure initiatives. Thanks again to our guests, and I will now hand over to Maddie to kick us off this exciting conversation.
Thanks, Dumo. Before we get into the podcast, we would like to understand who TransEnergy is, in the words of its founders, and what inspired the work that they are doing. So, Brad, could you please tell us a little bit about TransEnergy's story and how the company was founded?
First of all, thank you very much, everyone. Duncan, I'm really pleased to be here. Thank you for this opportunity on the podcast. Really exciting. Thank you for the question. So first of all, Duncan and I had established and were running a circular and sustainable business in Indonesia that was building schools, homes, and toilets out of recycled plastic. We had established that business and while we were running the business, we were looking at the concept of plastic credits and carbon credits when we met another gentleman who asked us to explore the idea of coal mines and coal abatement in the carbon credit sector. We then decided to take a look at this as a unique business opportunity, identified that this was something that we think could be viable and could contribute to the just energy transition. And so we handed the business that is still running today in Indonesia, and we handed over to local management, and we turned our attention into establishing what is now TransEnergy Global.
Awesome. So if you have a look at TransEnergy's website, you can see something called Project Mzanzi. Could you maybe provide some more insight into what that project is and what the goal of a project like that is? Maybe Duncan, if you could answer that one.
Yes, sure, of course. And from my side, thank you very much for having me on the podcast. Really appreciate it. Project Mzanzi is our first project in South Africa, where we are looking at an asset, a coal reserve asset in Limpopo region. And the intent there is acquiring the land and the mineral rights, and then being able to lock that asset up for 100 years so that it can't be mined. The intent then is for the coal that we are keeping in the ground. There's normally 1 ton of coal equating to roughly about 2 tons of carbon that would have been emitted that we're avoiding. And then we intend to sell that as energy transition carbon credits. But what's really cool about this project and our model is also that the project profits from selling those credits. Our intention is to reinvest a portion of those profits into renewable energy companies and projects across South Africa, as well as social impact programs that link into the likes of energy security, climate smart agriculture, biodiversity, and of course, building capacity and education in the green economy of South Africa. So Project Mzansi, from coal to clean energy.
Great. Thank you very much. Dumo, maybe you can take us into the just energy transition.
Thank you, Maddie. So shifting gears, as she said, the just energy transition has been a central theme in global climate action for years, holding particular importance in South Africa. Launched at COP26, the South African government pioneered the Just Energy Transition Partnership, or JETP, with ambitions to mobilize $8.5 billion by 2027. While this was celebrated as an incredible achievement for a developing nation, some are still skeptical of its relevance and its practical implementation. Handing over to Duncan, what does a just energy transition mean for TransEnergy, especially within a South African context?
You know, I think back to when the Global Citizen Now event happened. I think it was in Brazil, and President Ramaphosa was there. And I remember it clearly. He got asked something quite similar. And our answer is very the same as his, is a just energy transition is when we're leaving nobody behind, ensuring that everybody's being uplifted, everybody's being supported, the co-beneficiaries are gaining access, and the impact has been driven not just for everybody, basically, within the country, and ensuring that we know that it's going to take time with the energy transition, transitioning away from the fossil fuels into the renewable energy across the country, and ensuring that we're creating jobs, ensuring that impact is being created, co-beneficiaries are gaining access to that impact as well, is really what brings that just energy transition into play. So that's what we believe it is.
Lovely answer. And in your opinion, Brad, what role can carbon credits and other innovative financial instruments play in unlocking progress for this just transition?
It allows us to basically take an asset that would be a normal coal asset that would be mined and convert it into a climate finance asset, effectively enabling a funding mechanism for us to fund renewable energy projects in the country. And for us, that's why we were so excited when we looked at the initial idea of the coal abatement project. Is the country desperately needs funding in the renewable energy sector and globally, actually. So we're not just looking at South Africa. South Africa is our first project, but we're going to be scaling to other countries. And the Global South continuously needs funding. And so what this opportunity does is it allows, it's and effectively a funding mechanism that allows us to generate the revenue required and the funds required to invest into the renewable energy sector. So it's exciting, like I said, that we can take a coal asset and convert it into a climate finance asset.
Lovely. So we've spoken at length on who TransEnergy is and how they're contributing towards championing the just energy transition. We now want to focus into the journey towards this carbon credit commercialization and unpacking some of the practical steps that have been involved thus far, with insights from our very own principal consultant, Jan Willem, to also offer his experience in the process thus far. So Jan Willem, could you briefly remind our listeners again about the steps towards carbon credit commercialization and maybe how Brundtland has been supporting TransEnergy.
Yeah, no, of course. Thanks, Dumo. So we basically assist TransEnergy in creating these credits. And there's a couple of steps involved. We are aiming to do this with the ICR, International Carbon Registry. And then there first needs to be a methodology in place to be able to quantify these avoided emissions by keeping the coal in the ground. That's the first step, and that's what we are assisting with now. And it's a whole process, validation process, it's called. And it's so first of all, you write the methodology, do the research for it, but then you also go through the whole process with the what they call VVB, validation verification body, that is independent and checks if what you say is correct and what you want, if that's in line with what the standard says. So that's where we are now. Once you have the methodology, you can actually register a project using the methodology. And if it's all in order, start generating these carbon credits.
Perfect. And continuing with the methodology itself, could you briefly explain how it works and what is even a methodology?
Well, it's basically a way or a description of what is needed, which you need to have in place to develop this project as a carbon credit project. There's a couple of things there. You need to have a baseline. So what happens without the project? In this case, the coal would have been dug up. You need to check your project boundaries. So what is included and what is not? It needs to be additional. That's very important. So it couldn't have happened otherwise. So the carbon credits are really necessary to keep, in this case, the coal in the ground because it's valuable, right? So these type of things would be described in the methodology to register a project under.
Sorry to jump in there, Jan Willem. Would you mind also just explaining quickly about leakage and the relevance?
Yeah, that's a very good remark, Maddie. That is one of the considerations, for example. So leakage in this case is basically emissions happening outside your project boundary because of the project. So what we're doing here is we're keeping the coal in the ground. And we're locking it up, as Duncan called it. But what now if somewhere else in the country or worldwide, they dig up more coal, mine more coal because of our project, then those emissions would still occur. And that is what they refer to as leakage. So you want to avoid by doing this project that somewhere else, more is mined and more emissions occur there. If you can't avoid that, then you will have to correct for that, of course.
Thank you for that. So it seems like leakage is quite a big consideration. But just opening up the conversation as well, what other kinds of challenges do we foresee in operationalizing this methodology, particularly within developing markets that you're looking at?
Well, one would be permanence. So for us being able to lock up the land in a secure manner. And so what we have to do in every country we step into is look at what legal mechanisms exist within the framework that we can leverage on. Fortunately, in South Africa, under the Mining Act, there's two acts under the legislation, Section 49 and Section 53, that we can rely on. Obviously, depending on the registry and the VVB, there's a view on whether that's secure enough. And so, because obviously it's still a developing country, so we're actually looking at what else we can do on the land, what sort of infrastructures we can deploy, what sort of biodiversity we can develop to ensure that there's obviously additional permanence. And then, looking at financial instruments on top of that as well, green bonds, et cetera, to ensure that it's properly secured. Dunks, I don't know if there's anything you want to add.
No, all very good points, Brad. What I would say, though, is when you are pioneering something new, and this is what it is, this is novel, what we're doing, coal abatement for the energy transition, going back to COP28, transitioning away from fossil fuels, all the countries signing up towards a clean and renewable energy world, is when you're pioneering something new, you're essentially creating your own drumbeat. So you have to carve the path. You have to create the blueprint. And what's also been great in working with Brundtland is getting the right technical experts around you in defining what that blueprint looks like. And, whilst we might be pioneering some of the first projects here, without a doubt, there are going to be other projects that will kick off from this across the globe. And from our perspective at TransEnergy, that is a good thing because we want to be a catalyst for significant impact that scales at a macro level across the globe. So I just wanted to highlight that many, many challenges on the journey. And I think it's just about assessing each challenge, working with the right expertise who have the right experience and continuing forward with momentum. It's never a straight line.
As we've definitely seen through this journey already. Yes. I think you've already touched on some of the key takeaways from the journey thus far, but wondering if there's anything else that you'd like to leave with project developers specifically who have similar aspirations to you in terms of, you know, pioneering something that's first of its kind, especially that's not been done before, especially called abatement.
Gosh, you know, for other budding entrepreneurs out there, and Brad and myself are entrepreneurs, we've built impact businesses. We've also built charities, is hustle, is keep hustling, you know, stay focused on your vision, stay focused on your mission, ensure that you continue with a lot of strong grit, because you're going to have many days where you're going to feel this isn't going to work out. You know, learn from everything that's coming towards you. And even as I said, it's not a straight path to get to the destination, is ensuring that you're also surrounding yourself with a good team, with good people to support you, good mentors, setting up a good advisory board with experts in various different fields. And, you know, we've done that at TransEnergy. So it hasn't just really been, you know, Duncan and Brad moving forward with grit. It's been a team and a collective effort. And when you come across the challenges, we bring that internally to our team, to our advisory board. We discuss it. We gain consensus. We get third-party external expertise to advise us. And then we move forward to manage that challenge and deal with it to keep going forward. But momentum is critical. And Brad and I are big believers, you can't stop people that won't quit. So we won't quit.
Love that. Thank just you so
to,
much.
So just to add as well, the one thing that that Duncan and I have become really good at is pivoting. And surrounding ourselves with the right people, as Duncan just said. But it's not giving up, ignoring the noise, but listening to the advisors when a number of them are saying the same thing and realizing actually, you know, you might be heading in the wrong direction here. And so being able to pivot the business, as we've done many, many times. And then you'll see once you pivot how things do straighten up. So yeah, just having that, the tenacity to continue, but the openness to listen to your advisors.
Yeah. You are going to come out with mud at the end all over your body because that's the entrepreneurial journey.
Thank you so much for that answer. Yeah. I will now hand back to Maddie for the last segment of the episode.
Great. Thanks, Dumo. Lastly, as South Africa prepares for G20, Johannesburg will be hosting the Global Citizen Now Summit, the first to be held in Africa. But Duncan, for our audience, could you explain a little more about what the Global Citizen Now event is and what TransEnergy's role is in the event?
Of course. Global Citizen is an incredibly powerful and inspiring organization. The Global Citizen Now event is, I guess, Global Citizen's flagship action summit that's designed to bring together world leaders, CEOs, artists, philanthropists, and activists to announce concrete commitments that accelerate progress on the world's biggest challenges. So, for example, in Johannesburg now, Global Citizen Now, the campaign is all about scaling up renewables across Africa. TransEnergy Global is very, very proud to be a major partner with Global Citizen. And our role is we see ourselves as a small part of a very big ecosystem that is trying to drive change in accelerating the energy transition. So for the work that we're doing, you know, whilst you know, keeping coal in the ground, developing energy transition credits, selling those credits, and then a large portion of profits are being reinvested into renewables, that transition from coal to clean energy is our role. But just on Global Citizen, you know, just in general, extraordinary team of people and the events that they host across the globe, bringing in, working collectively with governments and, you know, statesmen and senior officials, is I always come back to, and I've spoken to Michael Sheldrick, who's one of their co-founders, about this, that they are a major megaphone for global impact and the campaigns they're running. They just had the one in Amazon right now, you know, to protect the Amazon. So I really applaud them, and we're really humbled to be partnered with them for this event in Johannesburg, which is a very important one for the continent.
Awesome. And maybe for both of you now, How do you think that these platforms like Global Citizen Now support initiatives like climate action and the just energy transition? And I know we've discussed this amongst ourselves, but maybe for our listeners, you can share your exciting news that you plan to announce at the event.
Ooh,
a sneak preview.
Well, you know, this Global Citizen Now events are great for live pledge announcements from countries, from companies making commitments towards climate finance, energy access, food security, high-level global leaders, speakers and attendees, and of course, immediate media amplification of what we're trying to do. So for TEG, we're very proud that probably at the latter part of the event, we'll be making a significant announcement. It's actually the first time globally this is being done, and I'll explain why we're doing it. But we are making a pledge to South Africa's NDC, National Determined Contributions, with their climate ambitions, 20 million carbon credits, future verified carbon credits. It's a significant amount, but our view and our model is that, you know, South Africa first. We're also doing work in Indonesia next, potentially Australia. Is wherever we go, wherever we work, is we can create impact. Yes, we can sell carbon credits and develop carbon credits, but it's also important to contribute, you know, contribute to those countries, contribute towards their NDCs. And we believe that this is a good example of good corporate leadership and just another way, innovative way, where you can unify and bring closer together public and private partnerships and support these countries. You know, some might disagree with what we're doing, but we see it as an opportunity when you've got high volume credits to be able to utilize those for the greater good and support the countries on their journey.
Awesome. I think it's very exciting, and I think everyone will be very happy to hear that when you stand up on stage. Brad, is there anything that you'd like to add?
I think Dunk's covered it pretty well. He, you know, just repeating what he said earlier with conversation with Michael Sheldrick, is that Global Citizen is a megaphone. And so rather than us doing a press release, being able to announce a pledge on a platform like this, while everybody else is making their own pledges and contributions globally, I think this adds weight and then also drives some excitement. People see, actually, this is something else that can be done. And can we replicate this? Because like Dunks just said, while this is the first time in the world that this is happening, the first of its kind, we're hoping that others will replicate this model and add to the NDC. So thanks.
Awesome. And maybe just a last question on this. For either of you, what do you think the desired outcome for a forum like this is? What do you want people to take away from it?
Just similar to what I said before, you know, being able to see what everybody else is doing and realizing actually together we can make a difference. So being able to go back to their home countries or back to their home governments, corporates, and sitting down and realizing actually this is what everybody else is doing. How can we play a part in the driving the energy transition and climate change.
Awesome. Building up the momentum.
Yeah, just in support of what Brad's saying there, you know, we're at such a pivotal time with our planet. And some might say, oh, you know, you got to, you know, keep the emotions separate. I'm an emotional guy. Is we are facing significant issues across the world at the moment. I've traveled all over the world. I live in Spain. I've seen significant floodings happening there. We've traveled to Pakistan and we've seen major floods over there. We're seeing what's happened across Africa. There is a significant shift going on in our world at the moment. I'm a father. I've got two daughters growing up. I'm worried about them. And for us, this is our contribution in this platform and scaling up renewables and speeding and accelerating up this energy transition is important for people and planet. And we've got one planet, and I just want to say that because I think it is critical. Mm-hmm. You know, and we see what's happening with the ice sheets and the ocean and the temperatures. We've got a major challenge in front of us. But what's really cool is that as humans, we're highly innovative and we can come up with great ideas and great new technologies, and we can tackle this. And I believe we are going to.
I think that's a very powerful point to end this on. So it is the end of today's episode. A big thank you to our guests, Duncan and Brad, for sharing their incredible story, and to Jan Willem for helping to facilitate the conversation. We hope that this episode will inspire all of our viewers and show that a just energy transition is a plausible dream thanks to projects like that of TransEnergies. As always, please leave a 5-star rating on the episode if you enjoyed it, follow us on LinkedIn for notifications about upcoming episodes, and send us any feedback and or questions you may have. Please make sure to follow TransEnergy on LinkedIn should you want to find out more about their work or the methodology, and be on the lookout for the start of public consultation for the methodology. Thank you for listening, and catch you next time.